There's a crazy viral video. If you don't know what that means, I think it just means it's something that's spread like crazy. And often crazy is the word. And this one lasts about an hour. Probably can't show it all. I'm going to show you a tiny little section which gets to the essence of what this guy's trying to say. So let's see this little clip.
And you're not going to stop there. No, what are you waiting for?
And there you have it. Today we continue in our series of growing, as we've heard earlier on, which is tied into our church core values as well. And today our subject is growing in outreach. The guy that you've just seen is very passionate about what he's saying. I don't really know what he's saying, but he's very passionate about it. But when it comes to outreach for the believer, it's really just as simple as that. He expressed it a little bit louder than I would, but it's just do it. That's what we're called to do as believers. And this morning we're going to be hearing and seeing examples of what it means to be obedient to that call. The New Testament is full of famous passages about outreach. We've got Philip and the Ethiopian, which is a great blueprint for mission. We've got all Paul's journeys, the countless people that Paul witnessed to as he traveled around. Jesus says the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And he also says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. But this morning is probably the most famous of the verses to do with outreach. And we read at the end of Matthew these words, Matthew 28 from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And we begin here in this passage with obedience of the disciples as they head off to that mountain that Jesus has commanded them to go to. Sometimes we forget they've got no idea what they're going to hear or see as they go to that place. The last few days and weeks of their life have been some crazy roller coaster as they try to come to terms with Jesus' horrific death and his amazing, unbelievable resurrection. And even after all they've seen of his proofs of resurrection, we read here that some of them still doubted. And I like that that's recorded. These are the closest to Jesus. These are the 11, and some of them doubted. It's actually okay to have doubts. And when it comes to outreach, many of us will be full of doubts. I don't know what to say. I'm so weak. I'm so inexperienced. What if they laugh at me? Will God really use someone like me? That's exactly where God wants us to be. The Bible reminds us that in our weakness, we can see and know his strength. Because outreach is actually not about us. And there are key words from Jesus here in verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And therefore, because of that, he is able to equip us, to guide us, to give us all we need to achieve his purposes. We do not go in our own strength. We go by his Spirit. He gives us the words to say. He gives us all that we need. We don't go in our own authority or our own power. We go in his. He has that all authority in heaven and on earth, and he delegates that authority to us. And more than that, and greater than that, is in verse 20 at the bottom there, which says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Because we're not alone when we witness for Christ. He is in us and with us by his Holy Spirit. I was trying not to think about Christmas yet, but having been dragged, going round with my wife around Dobby's the other day, it's all there as soon as you walk in the door. But I was reminded as I looked at these verses, the essence of the Christmas message is here. Reminds us, Emmanuel, God with us. And that continues in this passage at the end of Jesus' time on earth. And today, God with us. God with us as his disciples. Someone's trying to get in from the creche. It's like Jesus' story where they come through the roof, coming through the creche window. We are actually better equipped than the first disciples were when it comes to reaching out, because by his Holy Spirit we are filled and equipped to achieve his purposes in a unique and personal way. Outreach is his work, but he chooses to use us for the task. And we are called to be both willing and obedient. I was thinking back, the scariest times of outreach that I've found myself in are when I've had to ask God to take over. When I've had to take a real step of faith outside my own capabilities. I wonder, when did you last do something that required faith? I thought, that's quite a question for us to ask. So just give that some thought. When did you last do something that required faith? So much of our lives, we function in our own strength. We miss out on what God is able to do. Outreach is not a job for someone else. It's not for someone more extrovert than you, someone more outgoing, someone more experienced. It's you. And you and you. It's a personal response. We are uniquely created for his purpose, to reach people that no one else here can. You'll meet people this week that none of us will ever cross paths with, perhaps. People in your street, in your class, in your uni, in your family, with your friends, in your work. And Bill Hybels says this: God delights in using ordinary, everyday kinds of people in surprising and exciting ways. We'd probably all put our hands up and say, well, I'm just ordinary, everyday person. God wants to do something special with you. And in his excellent book, Becoming a Contagious Christian, he unpacks how you can be authentically yourself in the way you do evangelism, to be yourself. And in the process, have maximum spiritual impact on others. He says, he custom designed you with your unique combination of personality, temperament, talents, and background. And he wants to harness these in mission to reach this messed up world. I think that's exciting, that God knows us and has made us uniquely for his purpose. We may all do evangelism in different ways in this place. There's no one size fits all when it comes to outreach. Anne Brodie was going to share a little bit with us this morning. Unfortunately, Ian has a nasty abscess and has had to go up to hospital. But for Anne, there's a real desire to reach out to needy people, and also to reach out to people on our doorstep, to use her gifts of hospitality and befriending others. It's not difficult for her. It's not an onerous task. It's something that she loves to do. She's looking after me at present. And she was able to bring someone in to help and sit with me. And through that experience, this woman is now wanting to know more and more about faith just by spending time in the home there. Part of her task is to read the Bible to me. And it's amazing how God can speak through his word in that kind of situation. She's also taken a friend along to a Christianity Explored course at Gillian's house. And even in that circumstance, she was saying, this woman who has recently lost her husband, the guy who runs Christianity Explored, who's in the house, just keeping an eye on Gillian, making sure she's doing a good job, which I'm sure she is. He used to work under this woman's husband and knew him so well. This woman couldn't believe it. And he was able to share with her and give her some comfort and support. And this woman's thinking, how could this happen? Because God is at work. God is at work amongst us, and we can all play a part in his kingdom. It's a great joy in this church to see so many people who want to serve God on a full-time basis. For those of you that don't know, we have Samantha down in Cambridge for a year working with Youth for Christ. We have Liam off in Belfast Bible College studying for 3 years. Peter involved with OM, Horst and Petra, involved with radio communications throughout the world. Sam and Mary in the north of France. I'd written down what a varied bunch, but you know what I mean. What a variety of people and personalities and gifts. People who can work with young people. People who can use leadership skills. People who can work in cafes and have these relationship skills too. But equally, we're all called to play our part for God wherever we find ourselves. Each of us needs to be stirred in our faith to go wherever God would send us. That may be next door. It may be far away. And Isaiah says, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And surely that should be the desire for every child of God, to walk in God's ways. In one sense, a different road for all of us. A purpose-driven life, as Rick Warren talks about, to serve him and to follow him. It would be tragic for us to miss out on what God wants us to do because we're caught up with the busyness of life. Helen Rosevear tells the story of a young boy called Joseph, who lived in the orphanage in Zaire where she worked, and his parents were kept segregated in a leprosy facility. And this little boy came to faith at the age of 8, and then when he was 8, he was listening to a talk in church, and he ran back home and he said to her, can I be a missionary, mummy? And she says, well, of course. Then she said an interesting question. The boy's only 8. She says, is there anywhere where you think God is calling you to go? And he said, with a trembling lip, yes, but I don't want to do it. She said, what is it? She says, God is calling me to be a doctor like you, to work with patients who have leprosy. He wasn't a particularly bright child in school, but he persevered, and it was a hard journey. But finally, 17 years later, Joseph came to work in that leprosy station where his own parents had been. So God is at work, and that is also in the lives of our children as we pray for them and for God to lead them. There's so many great and inspiring stories, but there's the reality of life as well. Things do not always go well. And I have known missionaries where it's not worked out. Illness, early death, relationship breakdowns, just too hard to keep going. And it can cause turmoil and distress at times. But God doesn't make mistakes. And through it all, he achieves his purposes. He works all things together for good for those who love him. Next Sunday night, we'll be watching this amazing, inspiring film of a man called on a mission for God. It is a PG-13. That's why I didn't show the clip earlier on. So it's really for secondary age and up, and that will be happening next Sunday. We're going to watch this little clip. What an incredible story of the life of Jim Elliot. Please come along and be encouraged and challenged next Sunday evening. It will be at 7 o'clock and it runs for about an hour and three quarters. Verse 19 and 20 say, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And these are the verses that form the vision statement of this church, for those of you that don't know. It's what we believe is the essence of what we're called to do as a corporate church, but also as individual members. When Jesus talks about nations here, he uses the word ethne, which in the Greek means Gentiles. It's an extending of the range of mission beyond the Jews to the whole world. This offer of relationship with God through the Lord Jesus comes to each one of us. One author says this is the greatest conclusion that any book could have. And so we go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are his representatives. We're under his authority, as we've already thought. I was thinking about this. We send lights out from here to shine in the surrounding area where we live. As I thought about different people, I do a little sat-nav tour before I go to sleep at night and give thought to each one of you and where you live. And Kirkliston and Livingston and Falkirk and Linlithgow and South Queens Ferry and Rathall, Dalmeny, Broxburn, Kirkcaldy, Dalgetty Bay. I missed some, haven't I? Tell me what I've missed. Edinburgh. We'll give Edinburgh too. We'll let you in too. Say again? King's Seat, yeah, but further and slightly further away. Sri Lanka as well represented today too. But I was also thinking that in the workplace, people from this place go out all over the UK, not just where you live, but all over the UK. And you take that light with you. Who's travelled into Europe with work this year? Been one or two? Yeah. So that's also an impact that we can have on the world. But making disciples is a difficult task. I've had the most rewarding times involved in making disciples. I've also had the most disappointing times, seeing people going on in leaps and bounds and other people who fall away from faith. But every believer should be in that process of becoming a disciple. A disciple of Christ is not one who has learned, but one who is always learning. And growing up, I remember an old guy at the church used to come every week for lunch, and he was ancient. It must have been about 150, it felt like. But you know, he had that constant desire to grow and to know more and more of God. None of us have arrived, and we all have to keep learning and growing in our walk with the Lord. Now, we have a responsibility as pastors and leaders to help you along the way, but the ultimate responsibility to grow is yours. And the most mature believers are the ones who realize they know so little. And they also know the joy of continuing to know him and his word better right through their lives. These verses that we've read remind us that we need a teachable spirit. We need to know his teaching, and we also need to be obedient to what Jesus commands us to do. And it's a thrill to hear of so many people in this church who have that desire to grow in discipleship, people who are involved in one-to-ones, people in home groups, people reaching out to people where they live and work and in their leisure time too. We believe in believers' baptism at KCC. And as we read all through the New Testament, we read that people believed and were baptized. Very clear. Believing comes first, followed by baptism. And it's for every believer. And we would encourage you, if you've not done that, to give that some serious thought. There's a short introduction or course on baptism today at 1:45 for half an hour. Some people are already going to be baptized next month, which we're really excited about. But if you want to be part of that, please let me know or even stay on today if you can to add to those who are being obedient to the command of Jesus to be baptized. So often we are reluctant witnesses to others. I can put my hand up to that. I've told you, some of you before, how embarrassed I was when my best friend asked if he could come along to the youth fellowship. I thought, oh, cringe, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. He's going to come along and young people are going to be praying in groups. He's going to be in a group and he's going to be thinking, this is horrendous, what's this all about? But eventually he came and God spoke to him and he saw something real and he came to faith. Not without much help from me, I have to say. At our home group, Steffi Phipps was sharing of a friend who's studying to be a humanist, studying the humanist faith, and is so excited and so open about that. And it was a real challenge to Steffi to step up and to share her faith in Jesus in return. Graham and Alison are also members in the church here, and I've asked them to come and share a little bit about how they've been able to witness for Christ in their lives, just to encourage us. Thank you.
We don't do what Anne does. We don't use our gifts of hospitality and things like that to help people in their need. We can't run Bible studies one-to-one with people. That's certainly not a gift of ours. I think we just are ourselves, really, and we like to have people around and we like to be with people. Just maybe to put you in a wee bit of a picture of why Colin asked us, we have a really good group of friends in the village. There's 12 of us now who, none of which, apart from ourselves, obviously know Jesus. And our friendship is really strong with those people. So just to give you a bit of background, we've been coming to the church for 10 years now. And when we came, the only people that we knew in the village who were Christians, really, we knew the Carters and we knew the Frews. And then we came to church and we had a strong group of friends in the church. And I prayed, because I, throughout my life, have had quite a lot of groups of people who don't know Jesus. And I was aware that when we were in Kirtliston, we only knew Christians. So I prayed and said to God, you know, I want some friends, not acquaintances, not just people, but I would like some friends who don't yet know Jesus. And it's been amazing over the last 8 years to watch what's happened, because I started to go to a toddler group, not this one, but one in the village. And it was so busy that we couldn't get in some weeks. So two girls that I got to know really well and I started to, when we couldn't get in, we just met up and in each other's houses. So we would just meet up, go to different, you know, go to take around our houses and so on, meet up for coffee and whatever. And we got on really well. And very quickly, we introduced our husbands and they got on really well as well, which doesn't always happen. So we just started doing life with them. And I was aware that God had put these people in my life because I'd asked for them. And our friendship really grew. We didn't do anything special with them. We didn't keep the fact that we came to church from them. We talked about coming to church. We talked about our faith whenever we could. Nothing. We've had amazing discussions, but they come to things now and again. It can be disheartening because, you know, you ask them to things and they don't come. But we feel that we just do life with them. So we've seen really horrible times that they've gone through. We've said that we'll pray with them and pray for them. They've seen us go through pretty horrible times. They've seen us argue. They've seen us having to deal with our kids. They've seen us just going through difficulties. We just feel that we do life, really. That's it. I don't know what more I can say than that.
So Alison's talked about a journey there, a journey that we are on and still on with those friends. I just want to touch really a little bit on my work, just for a few seconds. I believe that God took me out of civil engineering. I was a civil and structural engineer before I am, for those of you that don't know, I'm a funeral director. And into funeral director, into a Christian firm, because I think looking back now that I was really struggling with outreaching to others and with my faith at that time in civil and structural engineering. And I think he's brought me into a Christian firm. The funeral directors that I work with is a Christian firm that has built me up in my own faith, has built me up in my outreach, and has brought me from somewhere into a comfortable place to be able to go out into an uncomfortable place, if that makes sense. Because I feel now that I could share my faith with most people at any time, and before that would have been really difficult for me. In my work, it's not a place where I can sit down with families and say, you know, this could have been a lot different for your loved one, or it could be different for you. We need to be sensitive, or I need to be sensitive, just how we touch on that. But it has opened up opportunities for me to be able to openly pray at the end of meeting with a family, just to say, look, can we just simply have a short word of prayer? Particularly, just one example is just recently here in the village, a friend of ours, dad had passed away, and as far as I'm aware, he's not a Christian, but at the end of it, I was just able to say, look, is it okay, X, if I just pray with you? And he was open to that. And so hopefully that's just a little seed that is planted. Another thing that Colin asked me to share about was just about SU Camp and outreach there. Alison and I are involved in that. And that's slightly different, because what Alison has talked about just now and what I've just talked about in my work is a journey that we are on with our friends, and a journey that we're on in our workplaces as well as Christians. But SU Camp, or outreach at camp, is a specific targeted period of a week, days possibly, a weekend camp or a week. And it's just a real privilege for us to be able to be used by God, and just for him to use us to target young children's lives at a specific point in their life. Just to give you an example again, we talked about this last year, for those of you who weren't here. There was two guys on camp with us last year that just absolutely hated it. They came for 3 days, we were there for a week, they hated it, and they wanted to go home. And we try as leaders to encourage them to stay for the week, but they wanted to go home, and there was just nothing we could do. They were off. If we weren't going to let them go home, they were going to walk home themselves. But just the privilege of knowing, like Colin said, the disciples were sent to go, and they didn't know what they were going to go and do, and they didn't know what they were going to go and see, and they doubted. And I suppose that's a little bit like us. We doubted, you know, God, why have you used us in this camp? These two guys have just come and gone off. But we have no idea what input God has used us or you in touching their lives.
Thank you. I hope you've gathered from Graham and Alison that this is something that's natural. It's not a huge effort or an added burden in their life. And how can we do that? We've just heard we can do it through friendships. We can get involved in clubs. I love playing badminton. I love going to the club here and getting to know people. And the surprise of seeing some of them coming along to the events, the connected events, which I would never, I can assure you, if you knew one of the people, that would ever happen was beyond my belief. But this person came 3 times, and it's perhaps the beginning of a change and development in that relationship there. So there are these kind of clubs round about where you live, I'm sure, things that you enjoy doing, community groups, but to grow these genuine friendships with others. So many opportunities. I was thinking about the cafe. What a brilliant opportunity that is. If you're ever off during the week and you like to have a coffee, you'll get one of the best coffees you can get in Scotland at our cafe, by our barista-trained staff. Believe it or not, that is actually true. And also the best scones in the whole world. So that's a really natural thing to do, something people like to do, and it's a win-win situation to bring people into the cafe if you get that opportunity. Ellie has brought a friend to come to help to serve in the cafe, which is great. A lady was in again last week. A couple of weeks ago, she was sitting on her own, this old lady, and I sat with her, and she was very quiet, and she said, I don't really want to say this to you, she says, but my daughter died 3 weeks ago and I'm just starting to get out of the house, and she's got 3 grown-up, well, under 21s that she's left behind, and that's so difficult for her. Just felt such a privilege to be able to sit with her, to listen to her, and to pray with her. And she was back again just last week. On Friday, a phone call came in, and it was somebody, and he was obviously in a level of distress. And my heart kind of sinks when I get that phone call, because I think, oh my word, what is going to happen here? You read all these horror stories in the press. You think, well, what am I going to do here? And so I met up with them. We went for a walk and talked for about an hour and a half. And just a life that's completely fallen apart. And again, a privilege to be able to hear him and to be able to offer a little bit of help and to pray with him and to tell him something of the hope of the good news of the gospel as he goes. And as he heads up to Shetland, that I told him I would get phone numbers from Jan of people up there in Shetland that would be good for him, that could help him. So we just don't know how we can help people along the way. A woman came to faith here at Colours just a few weeks ago. God is at work. So what is the application from what we've heard this morning? I almost want to just show the Just Do It Man again, but I'll spare you that. You can see more of it online if you like. But this is what really I've been thinking about all week. This word, outlook, the starting point. Outlook, what is your outlook in life? Does it revolve around yourself, fulfilling your goals, your work, your entertainment, your fun, your hobbies, your desires? Sometimes that's the case for me. Or maybe it's focused on your family. Jesus is incredibly blunt in terms of what it means to be a disciple. And he says this, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Too often in the past, particularly Christian fathers perhaps have neglected their families because they were too involved in Christian things and church activity and got the balance completely wrong. That's a really difficult balance to get. I find it difficult as a pastor, with the needs of others can sometimes seem to take precedence over family life to those who are in the family. But the danger that I see today is an overreaction against that, an overemphasis on family to the detriment of doing God's will for our lives in terms of reaching a lost world. Priorities can so easily be in the wrong order. So what is your outlook? What does your life revolve around? We are called to look out. Look out for what God's doing, at the people and the circumstances around you, and the opportunities for conversations, the good works he has prepared in advance for you to do. There's no greater work than to share the love of God with those who don't yet know him. I was fortunate to grow up with an amazing example in my home when it comes to outreach. My mum was always having Bible studies with women who lived in the estate where we lived. My dad would be witnessing to a captive audience in his dentist chair and also to his assistants, some of whom came to faith. They have lived their lives for others, a truly outward-looking life dedicated to sharing the good news of the gospel. Because outreach is all about him, and he is at work in people's lives. So look out for what God is doing, but also look out beyond yourself. I ask you, I plead with you to do that, to look beyond your own interests, beyond your own family, to those around you, because it is of eternal consequence. And we are accountable to God for the good news that he has given us, that we have come to know. If something great is happening in your life, you want to share it with others. What could be greater than to know the Lord Jesus and to know eternal life? As we thought earlier, Jesus says, look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. There are so many opportunities to witness for him. And I put it to you today that if you are not praying consistently for at least one person to come to faith who you know, then you need to start today. Perhaps from here to share that in your home group or to text that to someone to say, I'm going to make myself accountable. I'm going to be praying for this person. Please pray for me. They may seem so far away from God, but God is in the business of doing miracles. God calls you on mission this week in your life as you go. He says to you this morning, I am with you always. And that is more than we will ever need. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, for its directness, for its challenge that comes to us. Father God, we confess that we often fall short when it comes to looking out at this world. We get so caught up with ourselves at times. Help us to remember just how precious your gift of salvation is. Give us that desire for reaching out to others, those who are lost, to bring hope. As we go into the week of school and uni and work and in our homes and where we live, may we go with you, be led by you. May we share you with those that we meet, that you would take our ordinary lives and make of them something extraordinary for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.